It's really powerful that God has already been speaking and moving amongst us today. But I really believe that he's still with us and he still has more to say to us. I'm going to jump right in, a bit like the book of Jonah does. It gets straight to the point in Jonah 1, verse 1. It says, "The Lord gave this message to Jonah. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are." Put simply, this city was full of sin, and quite possibly the worst sin you can think of. It's sort of understandable why Jonah ran in the opposite direction, hoping to escape the Lord. But we don't discover the real reason Jonah ran till later on in the book. Jonah was headed for Tarshish, a city over 2,000 miles away from where Jonah was, compared to Nineveh, that was just 500 miles away. What strikes me about this is that Jonah didn't just stay where he was, which is often what we do when we don't step into our God-given calling. He, in fact, went backwards in the purpose God had given him, travelling four times further in the opposite direction instead of going where God had called him to. Jonah really was trying to escape the Lord. But Jonah should have known it was useless attempting to run away from God. Jeremiah 23, verse 24 says, "Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth, says the Lord?" Yet Jonah still tried his hardest to escape God, so much so he was willing to travel over 2,000 miles in the wrong direction. Once Jonah is on the ship, we now know the next part of the story. The storm hits and the sailors on the boat are fearing for their lives, while desperately throwing cargo over the side of the boat, hoping to lighten the ship. The captain goes to wake up Jonah and asks that he prays to his God for help. I'm now going to turn to Jonah 1, verse 7 to 16. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. "Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to you to stop this storm?" "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "Oh Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now, if you can imagine the wildest of storms stopping in an instant, you can probably understand why the others on the boat were awestruck. This might be one of my favourite parts of the story. God uses Jonah's mistakes for his good. In Jonah's disobedience, those other sailors on the boat knew of the Lord's great power, offered him a sacrifice, and vowed to serve him. Now, don't get me wrong, this in no way justifies Jonah's disobedience. It instead highlights both the creativity and graciousness of our God. The same God that used Jonah's past mistakes for his glory and good can do the same with ours. He can use your past mistakes for good too. Moving on, we then see in the final verse of chapter 1, verse 17, that the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And that verse pretty much sums up the whole story of Jonah that I knew before this. I don't know about you, but I often imagine Jonah knelt down in the stomach of the fish, praying peacefully. However, this probably isn't the most accurate representation of what it was like in the stomach of a large fish. Put simply, it would have been pitch black, sloshing with salt water, potentially surrounded by other small creatures, and I don't even want to begin to think about the smell. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, when Jonah prays to the Lord, he says, "I call to you from the land of the dead." In other verses, versions of the Bible, it is actually described as hell. That certainly doesn't sound pleasant to me. But God was gracious enough to give Jonah a second chance, and he orders the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. God then asked him again to go to Nineveh and deliver the message he had given Jonah earlier on. Hopefully Jonah knew by now it was pretty useless running from the Lord. We know Nineveh's sin was great, and almost as big as its sin was the city itself. It took Jonah 3 days to get through the city. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 4 to 5, it says, "On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed.' The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow." In the words greatest to least, it is implied that all of the people of Nineveh had heard this message and repented. Jonah's message had not only reached all 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness in Nineveh, but they had also believed what was being said. As far as we know, it was only Jonah delivering this message to the city. For them all to hear this message and believe it is pretty miraculous. Verse 10 then says, "When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened." We go on to chapter 4 and find out that this change of plan greatly upset Jonah, and he had become very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. "Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? This is why I ran to Tarshish. I knew you were a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love." I'm going to repeat that last bit. Jonah knew that he was a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Jonah knows God's character so well, yet it saddens me that Jonah was angry that the Lord gave the Ninevites the same grace that Jonah himself had also been given. Another chance just like he had not too long before. Jonah knew God's character, but was upset that the prophecy he had shared would now not come true. He was waiting for Nineveh's downfall, the enemy's downfall. There are definitely people in this world that we would consider the enemy, perhaps with sins like that of the Ninevites. And if we are being totally honest, perhaps we want to see their downfall. After all, they perhaps deserve it, but so do we. We've all made mistakes and don't deserve God's grace, yet he gives it us anyway. It's the same grace that gave Jonah another chance, the same grace that gives us all another chance. Now, by no means does that make God's grace cheap. It instead makes it so much more special. God's grace is so powerful, so far-reaching and all-inclusive that it is given to all who confess and repent. All, no matter who you are or what you have done. And this isn't something that we should be angry or upset about. It is something so special and amazing that we should celebrate, even if it is our worst enemy. Now, if we backtrack slightly, Jonah did fulfill the purpose God had called him to. He spoke to the Ninevites and shared the message, and the Ninevites believed him. Let me reiterate that Nineveh had more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. And by some miracle, they all heard the message from greatest to least and repented. Had Jonah not gone to Nineveh when God asked him to a second time, perhaps the Ninevites would never have heard the message, which would have meant they would never have believed and in turn not have been saved. Jonah's obedience the second time meant that 120,000 people were saved, each one of those lives being so special to God. This reminds me of Romans 10, verse 13 to 14, which says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" Let's not belittle the act of sharing God's message with others. Let's be the someone that tells them. As I bring this message to a close, I want you to remember these three things. Firstly, God is gracious enough to use your past mistakes for his good, just like he used Jonah's to see the sailors on the boat repent and serve the Lord. Number two, God's grace is for everyone. It's so powerful, so far-reaching and all-inclusive that it is given to all who confess and repent, no matter who you are or what you have done. And finally, we must step out into our calling. We could be the someone that lets them hear so that they can believe and in turn be saved. The response song we're going to sing is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And this was once a song I sang without completely realising the truth and beauty in the words I was singing. As you join with me and we sing this together to remember that God's amazing grace has set us free, I have created a small verse card of Romans 10, verse 13 to 14, as a reminder of both God's amazing grace to save us, as well as the importance of sharing God's message so others have the chance to hear, potentially believe, and in turn be saved by receiving the same grace that we have been given. To keep this response as COVID safe as possible, I've put a couple of chairs, two at the front and one at the back, so you can find your nearest one to pick up a card during the response song. For those of you on Zoom, I'll post a picture of them for you later on today so that you can print them for yourselves. Thank you.